Oof. Are you still there, Clipper Nation? I hope you weren't sent away or that exchanged.
That trade deadline took it out of me.
It was a lot.
It was a lot to deal with. It was expected moves.
Here's the thing. You alluded to it a little bit, but like, why they gotta wait so long? Why we gotta wait till the last hour? Anyway. We're gonna have a big recap for you of all the action that the Clippers made. Mm-hmm. If you were believing in Doc's assertion that things were gonna stay the same, I hate to break it to you.
He ain't the GM no more.
So we'll be recapping all the trade deadline moves, you know, as well as just kind of overall how we felt about it.
There's a lot to feel, I feel like.
And then, trade deadline aside, there are a couple of games coming up this
weekend. We got a doubleheader against two teams who made giant moves themselves.
Yeah.
This is the perfect storm.
Yeah, so very interesting. It's going to be a little bit of a different game preview than we normally do, but stay tuned for that. And then, it's Friday. You know it. You'll love it. We got to love Mary Kill for
it. It's going to be a fun one. This one is dealing with Clippers added Marcus Morris.
Yep.
Guy has had some choppy waters PR-wise recently.
Totally.
We're going to talk about.
Totally.
We're going to talk about a lot of stuff.
One aside, just before we get started. In a word with one sentence backup, do you think any team in the Pacific Division got better and they would be worth ranking post-trade deadline?
No.
All right, good. There you have it. Let's get into it.
Okay, so first of all, we got caught up. I'm positive Chuck Mochler.
I'm weighing the opinion.
The trade deadline concluded. There was a whole bunch of nothing and then a whole bunch of a whole bunch.
Yes.
I feel like.
Yep.
The Clippers, if you missed it, we are putting this episode out on Thursday night. Just feeding the streets, trying to do our best. The Clippers added Marcus Morris.
Mm-hmm.
We jettisoned Mo Harkless, Jerome Robinson, and Derek Walton Jr.
Separate incidents.
Let's get into it first a little bit. We traded Derek Walton Jr. to Atlanta for basically cash. That was the first move that happened today.
Yeah.
When I think every Clippers fan was like, oh, okay, we open up a roster spot.
Yeah. Yeah. So this move made room. I mean, obviously.
We still have the room.
Yeah. It made room that there is still more room to
buyout
to be somebody. Active for a buyout candidate. So I don't know that we've even seen the full fruition yet of this move.
Yeah. We got $1.3 million in cash, mm-hmm. from Atlanta and a second rounder, but the second rounder from Atlanta is top 55 protected. So that will not convey.
Yeah, we're not getting that.
So that was the first move that happened. Then we acquired Marcus Morris officially. The team sent out an official statement. Marcus Morris is a Clipper.
Yep.
Mo Harkless and Jerome Robinson, no longer Clippers. This was kind of murky. The Knicks had Marcus Morris. Today it was nice. The Clippers made it very clear that Landry Shamet was not on the table for Marcus Morris, which of course not.
It seemed like that was the rhetoric yesterday coming out, is that, you know, it felt like yesterday, that a Morris deal would more than likely get done.
Yeah, I do like that today. Yesterday when they were talking about Shamet, it was these weird terms of like the Clippers aren't interested in dealing Shamet. It was never
for
like
Morris. Yeah, it was never like he's 100% off limits. Yeah,
but this morning it was like the Knicks want Shamet and the Clippers are like, no, you idiot. Like,
nah,
we're not doing that. Which was great. We kind of knew that Mo was going to be involved in any trade.
For salary purposes, had to be.
He literally has to be. And we kind of thought that the first round pick would be in play because this might be the most valuable it'll be.
Yeah. This will definitely be the most valuable it'll be. Also, I've kind of expressed, I think we should get rid of it. It's the last time we can trade a pick until, you know, you and I will be
homeowners.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, fingers crossed.
Yeah, crossing those fingers.
But so,
the initial report of this trade was Mo, Fee, Man, and the first.
Got some people heated.
I was freaking out a little bit. It was just kind of like, oh, that's kind of a lot for Marcus Morris. When the dust settled, this was a three-team trade.
Yep.
The New York Knicks got Mo Harkless,
mm-hmm.
the Clippers 2020 first-round pick,
mm-hmm.
the right to a 2021 first-round pick swap, unless The pick for the Clippers is 1 through 4. So if things go horribly wrong in the next couple of years and we end up getting the 1st through 4th pick, hey, we still got it, baby.
Yeah.
So
another Kyrie situation.
Why would the Knicks agree to this? It's so useless. The Knicks also got the 2021 second round pick from Detroit, so not our second round pick.
Yep.
Washington got the draft rights to 2018 second round pick Issoufou Sanon, of course. The Clippers send Jerome Robinson to Washington, and we got Isaiah Thomas from the Wizards, who we waived. So we lost, in terms of players, all we lost was Mo Harkless and Jerome Robinson.
I wouldn't say all we lost. I mean, RIP.
Well, compared to the Fee and Man situation. Because when it was first reported, it was like, we're giving up Fee, Man, Mo, and a first.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's all, what I'm talking about.
Like four players all
that
together.
That would have been like, yeah, yeah. Dude, what are we doing here? I'm happy we got to keep Fee and Man. I don't think that's like a feather in my cap in any way, but I don't know why the Knicks, I mean, I don't care what the Knicks do, but I was kind of surprised I maybe didn't want more, like a young player.
Well, here's my thing. I mean, Mo Harkless is still very young.
For sure.
26, I believe.
Yeah.
26, yeah.
Something like that.
And the thing where it gets a little murky is Morris isn't expiring, you know? So
that's where that cash from Atlanta helps out. A little bit. Right, yeah. Under that luxury tax.
So Mo Harkless, I mean, was going to be involved in any trade. Of the trades, though, like just as a quick aside that we could have made, I'm glad he gets to go home.
I think this trade that the Clippers made was the best case scenario for how this trade deadline could have gone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
no, I'm talking about just from the Mo angle, but yes.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Oh, he's St. John's. He's from Queens.
Yeah.
I'm so happy for Mo.
Yeah.
Also, do you want to say anything to Jerome? You rode with him literally until the end.
My boy. I'm going to be watching you from a distance.
Well, I mean, got to watch a lot of Wizards games.
No, he's a guy I'll be keeping an eye on his career. I hope that a change of scenery, change of pace could be good for him. They'll certainly need his defense.
I know. It's a great fit. Like, he can get confidence.
It's a fresh start.
Fresh start, exactly. This was like, so we're 1.28 million under the tax line.
Uh-huh.
We still have two open roster spots.
Mm-hmm.
We can sign two rest of season deals while still not entering the luxury tax, if Ballmer cares about that. So we can kind of wait a bit to make some signings or work people out, if that is in our interest.
Yeah.
But just like right off the bat, do you agree that this was maybe the best trade we could have made for Marcus Morris? Are you surprised we didn't give up more players?
Okay, so I think two separate things. I think that
at the same time,
yes, this is the best trade. This is probably the best deal we could have done for Marcus Morris, because like, no matter what, you got to make the salaries work, right?
Yeah,
and we were able to do that. And while we did lose some vigor on the defensive end as well as youth,
okay, yeah, some would say wasted youth, but yes, I agree.
We were able to get it done for a player that we ultimately didn't know if we were going to be able to re-sign.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to get value from that. And then a first round pick that, to me, like, I mean, we've talked about this, a bunch of times. I was just hoping that we trade because,
Look at our first round picks from the last year, from the draft before the very most recent one. Gone.
Yeah.
So, and we missed on Jerome.
I mean, we don't know that.
But, I mean, at the time, I felt like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
no.
I agree.
I see what you're saying.
I agree with what you're saying. Like, this is like, this couldn't have been. Some people I think listen to this maybe still think it was Man, Fee, and a first, mm-hmm. and Mo. Because when that was initially reported, it was like, damn, okay. Like,
that seems
that's
like
a little. That made me kind of do the, ooh.
That like, seems like a lot. I mean, solely because of the years situation. Like, you know, Morris is an expiring. And let's be real. He left a team that he got to a conference final with. And granted, there were some other situations at play there. But, yeah, I mean, it pretty much shows the incentive that, like, I mean, if this team doesn't go all the way, our front office is going to have some very interesting decisions to make as to who they're going to choose to payroll.
This is a move that was...
especially in a very competitive fiscally summer.
Yeah. This was a move that we don't... So just on the whole, let's talk move the needle-ness.
Yeah.
On the whole, so just some stats real quick for Marcus Morris, if you haven't been following. He's averaging 19-5-1 this year on splits of 44, 44, and 82 in 32 minutes a game. Obviously, the minutes per game is going to go down.
The usage.
The attempts are going to go down. All that everything. Stuff.
But
he's... Oh,
sorry. No.
I'll say he's 37% from his career for three. So while this year is like a big uptick, 37% for your career, also his rookie year, he shot like 12% from three.
Yeah.
That's on the whole fantastic. If you look at right now, it's great, but like in a more realistic grand scheme of things thing, that's wonderful.
He's been in the playoffs with three different teams. He shot less than 40% one time in the playoffs.
Damn.
Want to guess what percentage it was?
What?
39.
I mean, that's technically lower than 40.
So, and here's my second thought that I didn't wrap up is that also, so like not only is this the best return that we, in my opinion, we probably could have sent out to realistically 100%.
Get Morris. I agree Morris.
100%, yeah. In my opinion, and this is like barring what you may feel about him personally, I mean, certainly what I feel
which
about
we will talk about in the third segment.
Was certainly what I feel about him personally, but he is the most impactful player that was realistically available for the trade deadline. Both
and ranked between Iggy and Rocco.
Yeah.
I'd put him at two. I didn't want Iguodala at all.
Oh, I'd put Morris above both those guys.
That's fair. Yeah, so it's a net gain too. Here's
Do you think there was a more realistic, like, you think there was a more impactful player that was actually realistic at the trade deadline?
Maybe Covington, but I'm going to put that as recency bias because I saw him play two really good defensive possessions against us in a game that we beat their ass in. So,
yeah, that's fair.
Here's a stat that will make, Carl Tart is, if he's listening to this, hope you're off the ledge, buddy. Carl Tart was freaking out about this trade for some reason. This stat I really like. And I maybe huffed a little too much of the stat earlier.
Okay.
Of the 59 players who've attempted 250 or more threes this season, there is only one person who ranks better than Morris in this stat. And it is JJ Redick.
Wow.
The guy is in, like, this season he's in elite shooting company.
Yeah.
And I in my head, I'm like, the spacing on the first unit with, we're talking Bev, Kawhi, PG, Morris, Zoo.
Yeah.
The spacing compared to what it was with Mo, teams would let Mo hang out at the 3-point. They shouldn't have cared.
Yeah.
This is like, we talk about how much we like the Kawhi and Zoo chemistry. This opens up the pick and roll to where we could see a pick and roll that is close to as the effectiveness of last year's Lou and Trez with Kawhi and Zubats.
Yeah.
Who are better passers than Lou and Trez when the pick and roll kind of breaks down? We talk about the tunnel vision thing.
Oh, outside of those two
players. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So if Zoo gets like the double or the triple, there's Marcus Morris.
Yeah.
There's Bev. There's Paul. The spacing for the starting lineup is beautiful. Just the dynamicism that you can
use, too, is really interesting. Because you could run, like double screens with like a pick and roll and pick and pop option. Or a drive to the back. Like there's just
a lot. It opens up the offensive side of the ball a lot. And then we're going to have to talk about what do we lose on the defensive side of the ball.
So,
which I don't think, we both kind of don't think it's not that much. It's not needle moving in a bad way that overtakes the good offensive play.
Well, here's the thing I will say. You're not getting a guy who's switching, one through four or two through
not
four.
Not at all.
I think that Morris is definitely a average to above average defender
for sure
on fours. He could maybe take some fives depending on how far out they are.
If it's a small ball five, go for it.
But you don't have that. You don't have the mobility of a Mo Harkless necessarily.
For sure.
Just in terms of like flexibility, but yeah, I gotta be honest. I don't think that when you get into a playoff situation and you look at where Kawhi and Paul George are going to be, as well as, you know, we haven't gotten to see a locked in playoff Fab Bev in a while.
That's right.
You don't need the switchability, in my opinion.
You
don't need the switchability quite as much. You need
there's
guys
much
who
more
can
defined assignments. Yeah. It's like their best player, Kawhi, is going to be on, or Paul George. So it's going to switch between those two.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. I agree. And I like, so I don't want to bring, I don't want to talk about the team across the hall too much, but this was a letdown of a trade deadline for the team across the hall in terms of we got better.
If you're comparing the two, yes.
Oh, I'm not even comparing the two. In a vacuum, the Clippers got better.
Yeah. Definitely. And they definitely got better.
We also got a guy who literally prides himself on bothering LeBron on defense.
Yeah.
That's one of the pillars of his career.
Yeah.
Is just that.
Yeah.
Like, I think every series that LeBron has played with Morris.
Yeah, he's looking to avenge those Eastern Conference losses.
He's looking to avenge that. He's looking to get a big-ass contract. If we get a chip, I don't care if he leaves. Yeah. After, thanks a bunch. That's awesome. You came in. You were a ringer. It's great. Every series that LeBron, the cumulative series against Morris, LeBron shot like 40%. Like, I'm so psyched on this move. I'm thinking of, this might not happen, but some Morris Jermichael power forward center minutes. You talk about going small ball. We could have a big ass small ball lineup. You know what I mean? What happens if we run an insane set of like, what? Here's an insane 3-4-5.
What do you got
that we might see?
Well, who's at the one and the two in this?
I'll let you fill.
Doesn't
that
matter.
In.
I'll let you fill it in
after I put in the 3-4-5. 3, Jermichael. 4, Patterson.
Okay.
5, Morris.
Why?
Oh, people are taking Knox. We might have to see it. No. What's the chemistry, Alec? We're also doing a very long first segment. We got like 5 minutes left. Hope everyone's okay with a longer pod today. I'm sure you will be. Chemistry outlook is something to think about.
So here's the thing. I do think that especially, I mean, and I'm guilty of it, like recency bias is definitely going to taint Morris's like chemistry outlook.
Of course. He's killed the chemistry in a couple rooms. He says misogynistic things.
Yeah.
That don't help the locker room.
Yeah.
As a whole. Or himself. Looking like a good person.
Prior to that last Boston season in which Kyrie came back and it seemed like things kind of fell apart altogether, he was regarded in Boston as a good locker room guy.
Yeah.
As a leader.
He's the guy where it's like when things are going well, it's great. He's one of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair too. So I think that with the starters, I don't really see any issues. Pat Beverly has already voiced.
Everyone's excited. Bev, Trez, and Morris were very excited on Twitter, going back and forth. Like,
so if I may offer a counterpoint, though.
Okay, go ahead.
Where I think there's going to be some friction.
Yeah.
Is going to be in that closing lineup with the front court, the 4-5 combo of Morris and Trez.
You mean maybe when someone is upset about how one other person is playing defensively?
Yes. I think that when Morris is watching some of the repeated things that, you know, we all sometimes get a little irked with, which is not even Trez's fault. Sometimes matchups are bad.
Yeah, sometimes matchups are bad.
Styles
and Doc chooses to continue.
Styles
to
make fights, you know.
Damn. All right.
And I think that he could definitely get short with Trez. And I think what we've seen sometimes is Trez does not like to be yelled at. He doesn't really respond well.
I got a short story about teammates not responding well to other teammates arguing with them.
All right.
I was once on one of the most well-rostered Little League teams that Missoula, Montana has ever seen.
Weird flex, but okay.
Very weird flex. Big deal over there. I had a coach who, if there were disagreements between teammates, would be like, go to center field and settle it. And kids would fist fight in center field. It was insane. Looking back, now that I'm 30 years old, I'm like, this person should have probably been put in jail.
He should go to jail. How many fist fights were there?
There were six over the whole year.
How many games?
Well, I don't know, 10, 12.
That's a lot of fights.
Oh, percentage right? Per capita? Yeah, a lot of fights. You know what our record was?
What?
Undefeated. We went undefeated. Shout out Coach Kev. Small sample size, but it can be, I don't know. I think Morris is in a situation. I think he knows the situation he's in. I think him and Lou is in a situation. Doc said it. It's time for him to get a ring. It's time. Morris is in a situation to show how much value he has in a very shallow free agent class.
Yep.
Like there's guys who have, same with Trez. We have this coalescence of opportunity for three really key guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I agree with what you're saying. I have the same kind of reservations about, I mean, shit is going to hit the fan at some point. But on the whole, I'm like, let's do it.
Let's play ball.
Clash it out. How are we feeling? Do you feel more confident about the Clippers' chances to perhaps hoist the Barry O'Brien trophy? That seems funner. Larry O'Brien's so boring. Barry seems like his fun brother. What if he has a brother? All right, that's a different one.
The team definitely got stronger. I think it offensively solved some of the issues that we've been having. I think, yeah, I mean, it's an upgrade. I really, truly am struggling to find a counterpoint that I really dislike about it.
For on-court production, we're going to talk about his off-court stuff in the third segment.
Oh, an individual.
Yeah, 100%. I agree. This was the front office being the front office. Like, they got... I can't believe we didn't have to give up at least man.
Yeah.
Or fee.
Classic Clippers tanks, if you will.
Okay. We're Chet Hanks over here coming through on the pod. I'm ecstatic. Most of Clipper Nation feels ecstatic.
Yeah, I feel very excited. This is... you know, on court, I'm very excited.
On court. Let us know how you feel at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler. Coming up after this, we have a very quick weekend preview against a couple other teams who added some pieces. Thank you for sticking around for the extra long pod. But first, we talk about physical fitness a lot.
We do.
This is a basketball podcast. But there's another side of your game that's just as important.
What is that?
I'm talking mental fitness. Your mentals. Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has teamed up with Cleveland Cavalier LeBron James to help you train your mind. LeBron and Calm know that your mind, we're not talking bodies, is like any other muscle. Calm can help you train your brain so you sleep better, have less stress, and perform your best. Your for LeBron James, sleep is an important part of his mental fitness routine. He says, getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most important things I can do for my body and my mind. Last year, sometimes he would sleep on the bench to actually rest during games, which is pretty crazy.
Good sleep.
And if you head to calm.com/lockedinNBA, get a 40% off deal on a Calm premium membership.
40%.
Dude, the whispers. I don't think the whispers are making anyone calm. With Calm, you have access to the nature scenes LeBron loves, like rain or leaves, and so much more, like Will Updike sleep stories and meditations. For a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm with a 40% discount to the annual membership at calm.com/lockedonNBA. Unlock content to help your focus, ease stress, and sleep better.
/lockedonNBA.
Get started at calm.com/lockedonNBA. Okay. We got a doubleheader preview.
Yeah. We're going to have to kind of...
All right. We'll do it in like 5 minutes. I'm going to love Mary Kill. It's going to be like a 45-minute episode. It's fine. We're playing the Wolves and Cavs, who also made moves.
Yeah.
In this, let's start with the Wolves game really quick. The Wolves got D'Angelo.
Yep.
Russell. And our, not the singer, and our out Wiggins. What do we need to do well in this game?
Well, here's the thing. I guess they do present a new challenge in that they finally have the pick and roll point guard that they've needed.
Coveted wanted. For years. I don't know what the hell's going on over there.
And D'Angelo does bring about some dynamic scoring in the backcourt.
He kills the Clippers.
Yeah, which I do think will be a struggle for us defensively.
Yeah.
But overall, I think, you know, it's become a bit of a cliche for this team about how we talk about the continuity and stuff like that. But just overcoming the continuity of these new Timberwolves, I mean, you look at a team that essentially is going to be changing their entire offense.
Yeah, there's that shock factor where, like, you get, and they're playing so bad right now.
They've been playing like dog shit for a while.
You know what I mean? So, like, it's like this could be a weird, I don't know if either of these is a trap game, but it has very trap game potential.
Yeah.
The bench should destroy them.
Yeah.
Like, it should. I'm not saying, like, oh, maybe it should destroy them.
Who's playing defense in this one?
So my thing from, like, here on out, now that we've made this move,
mm-hmm.
every game is a chance to put the league on notice.
Okay.
Every game is a chance to be like, see, not only is our chemistry working, but we added this piece. This is what we're starting to look like. Because we're starting. I'm not saying we're there.
We're going 30-0.
I'm not saying that. But we're getting to that point where it's like, oh, shit. Like, things could get good. We kind of touched on this. In terms of what could go wrong, pull up transition threes, like maybe the chemistry with Morris isn't all the way there.
Yeah. So
we got a couple days, though. So I'm also assuming Morris probably plays in this game, right?
From where I'm sitting right now, I'm thinking yes.
I'm not fully versed on how, you know, like the period between, but like it's, you know, we're recording this Thursday night. There's Friday. I think it'll be, he can find a flight to Minnesota. You know,
he's flying himself there.
Yeah, I mean, probably. I don't think he's in LA. Right?
I don't know.
Unless he comes through for a hot minute and then goes to Minnesota. But like, what could realistically go wrong?
What could realistically...
They lost Napier, who was their, for all intents and purposes, best passer.
Well, I think, you know, defensive communication is going to be an issue. We've talked about that is... you know, whether it's guys coming back from injuries or whether guys trying to get together, it seems like on that side of the floor, it's definitely a little bit harder to establish some sort of continuity.
For sure. We've seen Paul George struggle with it.
Yeah. So I do think that it could be a situation where, you know, this is a Wolves team that hasn't had a lot to look forward to for kind of a while.
Very
not,
true.
Not to dump on the Wolves.
They're
no
bad.
Disrespect.
They're bad at basketball.
They've been bad for a while. For
Karl-Anthony you know. Towns hasn't won a game in like 70 days.
So I think that they could come out with like renewed vigor, and you know they could drop one of those 40-point classic first quarters on us.
Do you think they retweet that tweet that said the Timberwolves are going to be bad this year if they beat the Clippers?
Oh my God.
I just thought how funny. If I was the social media manager for the Timberwolves, which first of all, they should hire me. I would retweet that tweet and it'd be a good time.
So if that happens, here's the thing too is like
We're at full strength. So like I'm having a hard time trying to figure out what's really going to go wrong.
Well, here's my thing. Like the one thing would be I do think that it is a rough start to on-court chemistry if they drop 40 on us on the road in the first game with new pieces in, you know?
In the first quarter, yeah.
Yeah, like therein lies...
But both teams are like, issue. I can see Doc, in my head right now, I can vividly picture someone asking Doc, is it hard to play with new guys? And Doc going... Well, they got new guys too, so I think it's hard for both teams. You know what I mean? Like, what's your prediction for this game?
I'm thinking like a plus 10 dub.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
I'm bullish on both of these matchups.
Yeah.
As I said, I think it's a dub too. I would maybe, I don't know what the over is right now. Lord help anyone who bet on basketball, before the trade deadline for these games.
You're a risky gambler, and I like it.
Risky gambler, I respect you. I think it's a dub too. Let's get into this Cavs game, which is also against the team that added Andre Drummond for some reason. It's unclear.
It makes sense to me in that.
Oh, I don't know, man.
It makes sense to me in
positive that, Will Updike over here.
Well, it just makes sense to me in that, like, okay, A of all, what have you got to lose?
I mean, that's fair.
What have you got to lose?
They didn't give up a lot for him. No, that's fair.
And either things go so poorly, he doesn't even want to opt in to his player
save
option.
Us 30 mil or whatever it is.
Or he does, and you have him for one season, and like, it's not like next year was going to be the difference between
dude,
the
they're
Cavs
on the cusp, bro.
Competing for a title. So it's like, yeah, give it a shot. See what happens.
They kept Tristan Thompson. They're not going to be buying him out. So what would he do well in this game? I kind of said it for the last game. Play like a championship team.
Rebound.
Okay, this goes into... So Kawhi had... We were shorthanded last time we played the Cavs.
Yeah.
Kawhi had 43. Lou had 24. Kawhi had 43 in like 28 minutes.
Oh, it was hyper efficient.
It didn't make any sense. A nice, like, another game where we have like 7-8 guys in double digits.
Yeah.
Which is realistic.
Yeah.
In this game. Yeah. I think, was it the Cavs game? No, it was the Kings game where I said that I think we could see 3 double-doubles. I'm not going to say that for this game.
Didn't happen.
Because the rebounds are going to be crazy.
Yeah.
What could go wrong is rebounds.
I'm excited for this for Zoo. He's going to want to show off for a new teammate.
You think he's trying to impress? Yeah, he's like, hey, look at me grab this rebound.
That Mitchell, who? I don't know who you played with before as a young center in New York, but this is how we do it here.
He ain't shit. rebounds are going to be big. Drummond makes... This might be more of a trap game than the Wolves game. I don't know why I think that.
I don't know.
That's how trap games go.
That is how trap games go. You know what? That's the trap.
Just full disclosure, I've had to be on Twitter mandatory so much today. I'm burnt out from Twitter. I might take a couple of days off. The Locked On Clips account might be a little bit quiet this weekend. They were 20th before they added Drummond. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that bumps them up. He literally adds, like, to their total average, 7 boards to their total average.
That's it?
In terms of the total thing, like, he brings 17 himself.
I was going to say,
but he's taking time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Math. Yeah,
we're talking about. Thompson might be out with a quad issue.
Okay.
Which is something to keep an eye on. This is a Sunday game. We're recording this on Thursday. If he's not, though, the Trez Thompson bench matchup gets interesting.
It does.
Their shooting might come alive. We talk about a weird renewed team. Kevin Love was excited about this trade. He's taking almost 7 threes a game at 38%. Garland is taking...
Well, because Kevin Love does not want to play center.
No, he does not. Garland is taking 5 at 36%. Chetty's at 5 on 39%. And any time that Shamet and Chetty were on the floor together...
Oh, yeah. They were going at
They
Shamet.
Sought that matchup out.
Yep.
So that, like... But now I think Chetty has to go against, like... Because Shamet is not going to start this game, which he had to in the Cavs game. Mm-hmm. Now Chetty has to go against Kawhi, Paul George, and Marcus Morris. Like, what's your prediction? What's going to happen in this game?
Once again, I think we keep the win streak going.
It's 5 in a row if we win this game.
I think we make it to 5 in a row. I do think that this is another, plus 10 probably margin of victory.
If the spread was 13 on this game, would you take it?
Can I wait to see what one game of the Cavs with Drummond looks like together? Or
nope, your bookie's in your face right now because you owe him a bunch of money and he's giving you odds.
Then I'm taking the odds.
I like it. Yeah, I think we're gonna win. I think we got this one. I would say firmly in the bag. Is that crazy?
No, that's fair.
All right. Well, coming up after this, we got a Love, Mary, Kill. We're going to talk about Marcus Morris's off-the-court situations.
But first...
What do you got for us?
If you've been a listener of this podcast, which if you're hearing this, you obviously are, I'm sure that you've heard of all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. like Calm, for instance. but you may not know that Locked On Clippers is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Clippers fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. Woo. If your company wants to connect with Clips fans, then let's put your company right here.
Come through Dave's Hot Chicken, please. I'm begging you.
We'd love to have you on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. It's very true.
Hell yeah.
It's definitely my preference. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success once again. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you.
All right, welcome to Shavings. This is the part where we kind of talk about Marcus Morris's off.
Why'd you put your hat on backwards?
It's shaving.
What's happening?
I'm having a good time. Dude, I'm so hyped up on the Clippers right now.
I know, I'm very excited.
I'm so excited. We're talking Marcus Morris. He's had some off the court recently misogynistic comments. He said, I believe it was Crowder whipped his head back like a female.
Yeah. Made some very disparaging comments about women, which is not true about the WNBA or women's basketball at all. Or,
yeah. Dude, if you watched it, we were talking about it with the Hoops and Brews guys. Shout out Hoops and Brews. Pavi, TPJ, go follow them. There is no flopping in the WNBA. Like, dude, people get impaled on stakes in the WNBA. And
WNBA rip that is shit the, out there's no up. Crying in baseball of basketball.
Yeah, they're the drunk Tom Hanks baseball manager of basketball, which is how it should be. No, there's no flopping. So he's got some stuff he's got to work on. And honestly, LA, what a better place.
What a better place.
2020 LA, if you had maybe some views that were, I don't know, 4 years outdated, they'll get checked quick in 2020 Los
like
Angeles.
That.
So we got a love, marry, kill. Marcus Morris sensitivity training / team bonding activities. This is an Updike original. Usually I put these together. This is a, anytime Will does it, he knocks it out of the park. Why don't you break these down for us?
So on the board, we have a Mookie Mike movie night. The whole gang watches Do the Right Thing and then burns down a racist pizzeria to the ground to prevent any sort of violence from breaking out.
Is this just a pizzeria where maybe the Yelp reviews have shown that they're racist? How are they figuring out where the thing is racist?
Well, it's a reference to Do the Right Thing. So if you haven't seen it, they exhibit, there is...
Oh, this is an... Okay, got it. For sure, for sure. I hope it's on vinyl pizza.
There is perhaps some tendencies, but at their heart, you know, they're good guys. There's just a bad apple.
I'm 100%. Look, I'm very pro arsenal. A lot of people don't know that about me. What's the next one?
Woke escape room. So the whole squad agrees to help Morris in an escape room where the scariest element is being confronted with your own misogyny.
He's looking in a mirror.
And the hardest puzzle is solving yourself.
I mean, how are we not going to marry this one? This is the one that I'm all for it. It's also at Ballmer's house.
And then we have Marcus Morris enjoys the Aurora Boris.
This was mine.
Marcus absolutely is infatuated with the Aurora Borealis.
Bet you didn't know that about him.
Takes the whole team to the Griffith Observatory Classic LA Landmark to see it. The trip turns sour, though, due to too much light pollution. So the gang gets their star charts read instead.
That's a good time.
That's a good time.
I Googled if you could see the Aurora Borealis in LA. It's very rare. I wouldn't say. Can I go first?
Yeah.
I'm actually loving the Mookie Mike movie night.
I love it too. Well, Do the Right Thing is one of my favorite movies.
Do the Right Thing is a great movie. This would be a nice, like, let's get some aggression out before the game starts. Because I'm assuming this is literally Friday night.
Yes.
This is before they hop on the plane to go to Minnesota.
Yes.
Or they go to Minnesota. Not like that. I have to marry the woke escape room.
I have to marry the woke escape room as well.
I want him to get better at this kind of thing.
Yeah.
He can. I have no doubt in my mind that he will. But it's also just a funny scenario. I just think of Steve Ballmer like yelling things at him like, I don't even
Do you understand the wage gap? And Morris is like, oh my God, no.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's like, a neck rub is not appropriate at work. And Marcus Morris is like, what? And then I guess I gotta kill the Marcus Morris and Joys of the Aurora Boris. I just love the idea of Marcus Morris being like, having like a picture of the Northern Lights in his locker.
Yeah.
And people are like, what the fuck do you have that? And he's like, it's a natural phenomenon. And it happens very rarely. Why would you not be infatuated with this? And then it's like, oh, we should check it out sometime.
I gotta kill this one too. And honestly, it's just because I've been thinking about Moonlight, and it's bizarre to me how many times on dates they go to the Griffith Park Observatory. They go to Griffith Park a bunch
Moonlight.
Of times.
I don't think you're talking about Moonlight.
I mean, sorry. I'm talking La La Land.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what?
Whoa, man, I opened up the wrong envelope.
What bootleg copy of Moonlight did you watch?
I watched La La Land, but it was just in the Moonlight. It was just in the Moonlight case.
I was like, damn. I was like, in my head, I was like, wait, did I see La La Land wrong? If you haven't seen La La Land, don't worry about it. It's not a very good movie. What if Marcus Morris just loves musicals?
Okay, well, that, you know, I'm all on board for.
I once saw a production of Chicago that starred Brandy and Eddie George.
I mean,
it was really good.
I bet it was.
They didn't showcase Eddie George's dancing enough, though. He was on Dancing with the Stars. Is there anything else that we want to talk about? This is a long episode. Thanks for hanging out. It's a weekend episode. You can break it up between a couple of days. Sorry, David Locke, if this is too long.
No apologies.
I'm psyched for this weekend. If we split games this weekend, I don't want anyone to freak out.
No.
Continuity's been an issue. We just added a guy.
Yeah.
Mo hasn't been hurt.
Yeah.
So, like, let's not freak out if we split the weekend.
Yeah.
If we lose both, though, hey, come hang.
I'm feeling really good. I am feeling relieved that the trade deadline is over.
I was like sweating at work. I was getting no work done. They thought I was doing a bunch of work.
I'm glad that we didn't trade away every single piece of youth ever.
The way that I looked at it, we talked about this before we recorded.
Mm-hmm.
We have our future shooting guard in Landry Shamet locked up at least for a couple of years. His timeline fits the 2-year plan perfectly.
Yep.
Zubac
He's got two more years after this, and then he will most likely have a more reasonable rookie deal than other rookie extensions.
Zubac is under contract.
Mm-hmm.
We're perfectly placed for this 2-year window.
Yeah, we're doing all right.
Figure something with Morris. I'm ecstatic. Thank you so much for hanging out for this extended episode of Locked On Clippers.
Thank you.
Usually it's 30 minutes a day, a little more digestible, but hey, not every day is a trade deadline. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Deezer, Google Play Podcast, whatever they have going on over there. I don't really know what's going on in Palo Alto. Monday's episode, we're going to have a recap of this back-to-back weekend, as well as on the freshies, we're just going to be dissecting Marcus Morris's fit after these two games.
Yeah.
Or maybe one. We're not entirely sure. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, we might have some new fans who are some Marcus Morris stans who came out of the Clippers. Welcome. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Appreciate you.